I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street. It's the podcast all about radio. Our current podcast series focuses on one of radio's greatest and most special assets, our on-air talent. As we like to say, radio was the original social medium, and its on-air personalities are the original social media influencers. Now, many of these radio influencers have greater reach and followers than that of other media. They have incredibly strong ties to the local community, and that's based on a foundation of trust and emotional connection. As individuals who entertain, educate, and inform, radio influencers have the power to impact and affect behavior and brand consideration. On a daily basis, they create environments that connect their advertisers with businesses to help drive brand awareness and increase sales for the business's products and services. In our eighth podcast of the series, we hear the conversation I had with the morning hosts of the Tad, Drex, and Kara show, heard on B98.5 Atlanta, a CMG station. Wanting all three to shine, this morning show trifecta's communication between them is jaw-dropping good. So as listeners, you know, we're always fascinated. You guys are this incredible team of three individuals, and it just works. But how did the three of you actually get together to create the show? And Kara's laughing.
Yeah.
It's an interesting story.
Is it?
I feel like it is.
From my perspective, I got here in 2016 and was on the show with two other people. And one of them left. Kara joined and brought in a whole lot of, like, she was a great addition. And she and I are like brothers and sisters. It worked really well together. And then the other co-host left, and that's when Drex started stealing my Yeti cups from the studio. And I was sounds like a guy we need to have on our show. And so we came together. It was like piecemeal, right? Like a remnant carpet.
Yeah. So I was working at another radio station. I was in Charlotte with another team, and got asked to come to another radio station in Atlanta. And my wife is originally from the area, so she basically had the U-Haul packed before I even got the offer, and spent about a year and a half at that other radio station, but secretly behind the scenes had already known and like was having dinner and breakfast with Chris Egan, our big boss, the VP at CMG. And so when I got let go of that station, they blew it up, and now that station's in the dumpster. It kind of fell into place. And it was really interesting to meet Tad and Kara, because while we are very different, we are as different as we are similar. Mm-hmm. So you ask like how it works. That's how similar as we are also very different.
For most of us lay people, and I say lay people because, most of us that will be listening to this podcast are not on-air talent. We are behind the scenes talent. And it is always remarkable to us that individuals like you get on the radio and sound so natural, and it just works and flows. So it's one thing when there's one person, but how do you prep for a show when you have a team like this?
We first of all, it sounds like people are always like, oh, how lucky you get to just talk on the radio. And if you knew, like, I mean, it does seem like brain surgery, right? At times. We work with a consultant, Tracy Johnson, and we have our program director, Emily Bolden, and there is constant scrutiny for the good. Mm-hmm. There, especially Tracy, is very big picture and very into. He's not into like the radio stuff. I think that was one of the things that I needed to learn, as because I started in morning radio in 1997. And in the short period of time, or actually long period of time, radio's changed so much. Steve Smith in 2013, rest his soul, very bluntly said to me, "You sound like you're on the radio. You sound like if Family Guy were to do a caricature of a radio show, they could use your voice. And so I had to break myself of all of these things. And it's so ever evolving.
Right.
That now it's been like, I feel like we are as real can get, and constantly working on getting realer. And there's an incredible amount of work that goes into the show. But as far as the team goes, I basically know these guys so well. We've been working together for 6 or 7 years that I know what Drex feels about something, and I just have to confirm it with him before we go on the air. I know how Kara, her attitude toward things, and I just have to confirm it with her to make sure she's not like, actually, no, you have me all wrong.
Well, and that's how we make content choices is I'll look at something and I'll go, I that doesn't strike a chord with me, but I guarantee Tad feels a way about this, or Kara feels a way about this. So it takes a lot of like selflessness to go, while this doesn't affect me, or I can't shine with this, I know one of them will, and that makes it better.
But you can also ask the great questions, knowing that it's not something that may strike a chord with you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you guys think makes great radio?
Kara, we have heard very little from you, and I know that's out of character.
I don't know. I feel like connecting with a listener in a way that makes them feel a certain emotion, makes them feel like they know us, makes them feel like they are in our shoes or we're in their shoes, is something really special that we get to do. And it's such theater of the mind sometimes that we get to create. We're painting these pictures and we're telling these stories, and you don't get to see the picture or the person, but we have the unique ability to use our words to kind of create the landscape for the listener. And it's something that no other medium, no other real person gets the opportunity to do.
And for our listeners, I will say, I see a lot of head shaking here.
Yeah. They have the Florida Georgia college football game every year. It's the world's biggest cocktail party. I think of our show as the world's biggest, or Atlanta's biggest anyway, breakfast table at a really cool restaurant. And we're your really cool servers that are sort of serving up the conversation. But to just piggyback on what Kara was saying, yeah, I mean, you don't get to call into your favorite TV show and say your opinion, or say, Drex had that all wrong. And I use Drex as an example because that's most likely what they will say.
Yeah, if you know how many times a week they're like, Drex, you sound like an idiot. I know, 23 years of hearing that.
That's funny. So what do you think makes your show different from other people on the radio?
I would say going back to what we said earlier, our selflessness. I truly trust and believe that the two of them, they're planning and prepping on their own with the other people in mind. Like I said earlier, like I'm actively looking for stuff I know will fire Kara up. Mm-hmm. That brings me the most joy. I'm looking for something that I know I'll drive and I'll be like, oh, Tad would get a kick out of that. So I think that's really what makes us different, is that I don't think any one of us wants to be a star or the star. We want to be the stars. We want to be the Orion's belt. We want all three to shine.
It sounds pretty selfless to me that you're thinking of each other all the time when you're not together.
Me personally, I do a lot. I think about these guys all the time. Yeah.
Right.
It's a very dysfunctional little family we have here.
It doesn't sound like it to me. So, Kara shared some words about what makes great radio, but when you're actually on the air and you're in the middle of it, what are you all thinking about?
I could say for me, it's crazy because, I was a kid when I first started in radio, and it's amazing to me. The technology has eliminated a lot of the things that used to be a big part of my show. I used to have to worry about stacking carts and
so the physical activity of doing your show.
Right. And so, but you would think with all of this technology, Vox Pro, Wide Orbit, all this technology is there to sort of make our lives easier. And I think about it, when I was in Providence, first starting out in morning radio, I used to go downstairs for smoke breaks, right? I don't smoke anymore, but I used to go down. I had somehow worked in, maybe that's a smoker problem, but somehow worked in 5 minutes to go downstairs. Now I'm like, I will be like, whoa, we've been here for 3 hours. I haven't even stood up yet. So what's going through my mind, because I'm running the board, is what's the tease? What's going on social media? What are we talking about with info to go? Like, it's, if I wasn't born with ADD, I definitely have it now. And I can thank radio for that.
Rex, what about you?
I'm always personally thinking about, so my little backstory was I grew up in a house that had some like addiction issues. And so family life was tough. And the kind of the only time I ever felt like a family was in the morning on the way to school, listening to talents like Jay Towers and Mojo in Detroit, where I grew up. And that was kind of my only time, like I felt like a family, like I felt like I was part of a family. So whenever I'm on the air, I'm always thinking of that mom and son, or that dad and daughter, or those, that family in the car, or even that just single person in the car who might be going, yeah, these guys are my family. Like, they get me. I'm a part of something bigger. So that's always going through my mind.
Mm-hmm. Kara? I don't know. I feel like we're all very in the moment as well. We're in our thoughts and we're in our emotions about whatever topic that we're talking about at the moment, but we're also, like Tad said, forwardly thinking about what's coming up and how are we staying on time and are we entertaining? Are people connecting with what we're saying? Are we just up here on our soapbox making fools of ourselves, or are we really connecting with people? Is this really going to resonate?
Right.
I will say, like, the communication on our show is jaw-droppingly good. Like, it's not like we're not sitting. I've been in studios where people just kind of sit there and they wait for the song to end so they can turn the microphone on. Like, I certainly don't shut up the entire time, but we're constantly working out
truth.
What we're going to do, who's going to say, like, who's got what angle, you know, and then in real time assessing how that break went. I mean, it's not a big long, we don't have time for a big long conversation about it, but we're very honest with each other in terms of like, I think that stunk, and Drex will be like, I thought it was pretty good, and you know, we'll just go around like that. So it's very communicative.
Well, you know, Ted, you talked about how the actual production of the show has changed, or the duties have changed, if you will, with technology. But our listeners have changed in the sense of how they listen to us. They used to listen through one device, and now it's multiple devices. And knowing that, does that change how you think about communicating with your audience, since they're listening on different kinds of devices?
I never thought the device mattered in terms of listening to our show. What matters is what we're doing, what's happening. Right. But I mean, it's great. We can have people, I'll give you an example. I was in Tulsa for 2 years before this job, and with CMG. And there's a woman named Alice who's donated to fundraisers that we have. She listens online every day. She just wrote to me I sent her some coffee mugs. She wrote to me the other day, "You're my friends in the morning." She's listening online, so that's a different platform for her. So it just expands our potential reach, and social media expands the number of places that we have to go find interesting stories and interesting people, and it's incredible.
You bring up social media. How do you incorporate social media within your show?
One thing that we do that I hope every show is doing is to use social media to their advantage. And so we'll have an idea for some topic that we're going to talk about, post it to social media, see if there's any interest. We might pivot what we're actually going to do based on response, or we might find a great story that somebody, you know, gives us a little piece of. They don't tell us the whole story. So we can then go to them and say, hey, would you mind calling in tomorrow morning, or we'll call you and you'll be on the air. So it helps us with content. It helps us kind of measure the barometer of what the audience is thinking about or what they're wanting to talk about.
Mm-hmm. you just shared this experience from a listener that you met in Tulsa, if you will. Drex, do you have a story you can share with us that that really talks about that special relationship that you have with your audience?
It's so funny you bring that up, because I'm not kidding when I say 10 minutes ago, I just got this Facebook message like 10 minutes ago. We did a bit this morning where a husband and a wife, they're divorced, and the husband owes a back child support, and the ex-wife is not going to let the ex-husband go to the first day of kindergarten with their daughter until he pays his child support. And these guys don't know this because it just happened. It's a woman. She lost her husband 10 years ago. She's a grandma and a mom now. She offered to pay his child support.
A listener.
She goes, a listener. This literally just happened. She offered to pay it because she said, my husband's gone now. And should anything happen to this woman's ex-husband and he doesn't get to do this, she's going to regret it for the rest of her life. So she goes, I don't know how much it is, but I'll pay it. I want him there.
Wow.
Crazy.
That's the real, awesome. That's the real victory. You know what I mean? When you can get people involved in your show like that, like that's amazing.
I don't know how you top that, Kara, but do you have a story that you can share with us?
I do. I mean, and this just happened recently as well. I got an email from a father of a four-year-old who listened every morning in the car to our trivia show, Are You Smarter Than Kara, that we do at 6:35 and 7:35 every morning. And he said, Arrow and I are in the car and we are rooting for you every morning. When I win, I do a little to kind of big up myself. And that's Arrow's favorite part of the day. And he refuses to get out of the car and go into daycare until the game is over and we've oo-ooed. So he took video of four-year-old Arrow in the back seat oo-ooing after me. And it was just the sweetest, most heartfelt thing. So then the following Monday, we gave them a little shout out on the radio. And he took video of Arrow again, hearing me acknowledge him and call him out as my buddy. And just the look on his little face at 4 years old, you know, those things, those experiences stick with you, you know, sometimes for life. And it was just such a huge thing for me that this little silly trivia game that we do every day connects this father and son every morning.
And who says better than a paycheck? People are not listening to the radio?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
What a great story. So if you had 30 seconds, and I would love each of you to answer this.
You got to give us more than 30 seconds.
Well, give Tad needs more than 30.
Give me 3 minutes.
All right. We'll give you each 3 minutes. But if you had an advertiser in front of you, and it's no secret that we are able to do what we do through the great financial support of products and services. And if you had that audience singularly with a client, what would you say to an advertiser as to why they should include radio in their marketing plans?
I'm going to start.
Whoever wants to start.
I'll say everything that they were going to say and then they'll have nothing.
okay, Ted.
I have a friend that is a media buyer. So I'm sort of privy to what's going on in all like on all the platforms or who else is coming after her for business. Right.
Right.
And I always say radio. So I'll give you an example, because I've given my friend so much grief about this. She bought radio, but she also bought a billboard on the side of a MARTA bus. Nothing against MARTA buses, but I have never once in my life looked at a MARTA bus before to see who the advertiser is. I see it as this monstrosity and I look away. Also, what's the demographic? Who are you trying to reach? You have to, in order to determine the demographic of a MARTA bus, you have to know it's what route it's going to be taking, right? In contrast, TV, another classic example. It used to be people would be watching the TV. Maybe they'd go up to the bathroom, but you could get them there. Well, who watches commercials on TV anymore? I can't remember the last time. We're watching Netflix. We're watching all this. Oh, come on. I'm actually pleased because that's only 36 seconds. I'm just
I started it like a minute ago.
So what I say about radio is that you have a captive audience, a captive targeted audience. If you want to reach 25 to 54 or even younger, but if you want to reach that audience, females, if you're not out on B98.5, you're missing out on this huge opportunity. And then when it comes to endorsements, now you're having a friend recommend a product. You don't get that really on TV. You get it from celebrities, but we have taken down the wall between who's on and you know, it's like listening, getting advice from a family member. So I think radio is the best place to put your ads.
Caroline,
it was less than 2 minutes.
I think radio is just so unique in the fact that, yes, we do have people coming to us, for music, for entertainment. They trust us. They trust the things and the products that we recommend and our opinions on things, and are more likely to buy in on whatever you're selling when it's recommended by a friend or someone who is a trusted person in your life and have had experience with those things. That's why endorsements can be so powerful, because we actually do use these products. The thing behind me is my Murphy bed from Space Maker's Closets. These are actually in my home. These are actually functional things that we use every day. And, you know, when you buy an actor doing your script on TV, that doesn't really always connect. I mean, and it's background. You can change the channel. You can, like Tad said, leave the room. And with radio, you are that captive audience. You're stuck in the car. And if we can entertain you and hook you in a way that nobody else is able to, you're already kind of ahead of the game, I feel like, as an advertiser.
That's such a great point when you talk about that the listener is coming to you. You're not coming to them. And that's such a great reminder. Drex, we're going to give you the final word on this.
I would say to an advertiser, radio is the only medium that you can tell your story however you want, and then give the listener the option to interpret it the way that they want. Anything with a print media or a screen or anything like that, you're showing them what you want them to know. But if they're listening to it, they're allowed to create they're allowed to hear your story and then add themselves to it. So I think it's there's no other medium that you could be more creative with than radio, because you can only use your words.
Right. Like the Space Maker's Closet. That's an excellent point. Like Kara, if I heard a Space Maker's Closet ad and hear Kara talking about Murphy bed, I wouldn't see Kara's Murphy bed. I wouldn't even be thinking about that. I'd be thinking, where in my house could I put a Murphy bed? And do I want a Murphy bed? And I can envision it in my house. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
You know, you talk about endorsements. Now I'm fascinated about thinking about getting a Murphy bed. but as a team, how do you handle endorsements? Is it done individually, or do the three of you all support one client, or is it sort of just depends?
Individually, but changing.
Okay, well, tell us more.
Yeah, well, yes, currently it is individually. Tad and I do a couple together. I've done stuff with Kara, and so it's been mixed up. My philosophy on it is, you know, if all three of us are going to do a pest control service, well, now that just limits one endorsement. So my thought process always is like, why aren't there three pest control services that each one of us is doing? That's my personal process. Yeah. Cause you kind of get now the pest control service is done for the show.
On the other hand, were we to do endorsements with all three of us, that would sound more like the show. And I think that'd be more appealing to advertisers. So it's really up to Emily Bolden.
Yeah.
So it's up to the boss who does what.
Exactly.
That's great. I love that. That's funny. And how do you measure success when you're endorsing a client?
I feel like when they are happy, when they're happy with their commercials, when they're coming back, when they continue to buy, when they want to continue to foster that relationship, I feel like that's a success. I feel like that's a win.
I personally endorse Xfinity, the cable and internet and all that. And they always send very detailed scripts and a lot of legalese and all that. And I totally understand because of their space. But one time I went off script because they were bringing back, I think they were bringing back Saved by the Bell. And it was over like Thanksgiving weekend. And I knew they were doing that. And so that Monday we got back from Thanksgiving, I said, hey, I'm supposed to tell you about Xfinity Internet and Peacock and all that crap, whatever. But did you see what they're doing? They brought back Saved by the Bell. Oh my God, the nostalgia that I saw over the weekend. It was so great to sit down and like watch it with my 10-year-old daughter and be like, this is what daddy watched growing up. And no joke, I got an email from that media buyer that day. And I'm like, oh crap, they're mad. I went off book. And they were like, that's the best spot we ever heard. And I won like a quarterly endorsement award from them for that. So it,
and
yeah.
By the way, like Drex, for mentioning Xfinity on this podcast, just got paid $350. So. Hashtag sponsored.
I have to read the legal copy. Hang on.
But we'll speed it up really quickly. But to that point, Drex, that's it's important for clients to hear these stories because sometimes they may not be involving you as much as they could because they're limiting what you can say about their product or service.
And sometimes, like with that, as talent, we've got to trust our gut. We say this to each other all the time. You know, we get a lot of input from this person, or we get a lot of copy from an endorser. But we say to each other all the time, like, guys, we got to do us. At the end of the day, we've got to do what we feel is right in our gut.
Mm-hmm. That's a good message to an advertiser. So we have a campaign that goes on and we talk about radio matters because, and radio works because, so I would love to have each of you finish that sentence. And Kara, let's start with you. Radio works because?
Radio works because it just does. Radio works because it's everywhere. It's the one thing there you don't have to have a subscription for. It's in your car. It's on your phone these days. You can access it anywhere you want to go. And we're in your pocket, be it through an app or through the actual radio. And you don't have to pay anything for it. We are there for you.
Drex?
I say radio works because, it's kind of to piggyback what Kara said, I say radio works because we're not here for the paycheck, okay? Regardless of what you think, it's not that great. It's okay. It makes us a living, but we're not here for the paycheck. We are truly here for them. We are truly there for our audience. The only reason we put all this time and effort and the communication and the Facebook message and all that is to put out a great product for our audience.
Tad?
Are you sure you don't want me to yield my time since I chewed it up before with the previous answer?
Keep going.
All right, I will. I think radio works because of its intimacy, its companionship, and getting back to what I said before about the breakfast table, the reason I liked it, politicians talk about the conversations around the breakfast table. We are the biggest conversation around the biggest breakfast table. And in a time where people are so divided, we don't talk about politics. We have not mentioned, we'll do it a Donald Trump impersonation just to say China every once in a while, but there's nothing beyond that. But to be able to come together for fun, for real life topics, for your everyday kind of struggles and stuff, and have support and be able to commiserate on things with your friends, it's the best. It's the best.
Boy, and being in Atlanta, forget about the presidential election. You've had so many state and local elections in your community.
We're too busy on TMZ and people. I have no idea what you're talking about.
And then I'd just like to close with your thoughts on why radio matters. And radio matters because?
I mean, much of the same reasons that we just gave, I feel like radio matters because radio works, and radio works because of our previous answers, probably. I'll just tell you on a personal level, radio matters to me because my dad, I didn't even know this, but my dad was in radio as a young man. And when I was born and until I was 11 and he picked it up as a hobby, I had no idea that he had previously been in radio. And radio actually connected me to him more than it did my other siblings. Like, my parents were divorced. My dad, I found out after he passed away, one of his friends at the VFW came up to me and he was like, did you know that, like, you were like, God was here and you were here in your dad's eyes? He was so proud of you and everything. So that's why it matters. And it matters on a personal level. I think it maybe matters to everybody in a different way. We're just touching people in so many ways. And in many cases, like this morning's topic that Drex had alluded to earlier, this grandmother was so moved by it that she wanted to help by paying the child support. Other people were angry at the views that they were hearing. You know, right. So it's a friendly exchange of ideas, and I think it makes the world a better place.
Kara, anything you want to add about Radio Matters Because?
Yeah, Radio Matters Because it's a unique connection that you're not going to find anywhere else. It's a unique connection to the people like us that are the hosts of whatever you're listening to whatever's going on in that listener's day, mind. We're able to be their escape. If they're in the car and they are having a terrible day, they know that they can tune into us and we'll have something funny for them. We'll give them a laugh. We'll make them escape that bad mood or bad day that they're having, even if just for a little while, and have a place to go for respite, you know, and a funny and a favorite tune.
Mm-hmm. Drex?
So I'm going to get on my soapbox here and I'm going to say that radio doesn't matter. I'm going to say that local radio matters. I'm going to say our local station, being ran local, being jocked by local people that live right here. All three of us, while we don't live in the same parts of the town, we live in the metro Atlanta area. So we are able to truly reflect of what is going on in our state and in our city. And if there's a big storm that rolls through, it rolled through for all of us. If there's bad, if the Braves win the World Series, they won the World Series for all of us. So radio doesn't matter. I'm here to say that local radio matters. And Gina Brown knows here for sure. Cox Media Group, fully 100%. Our boss Chris Egan, he supports that. He believes that as well. That local radio matters.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, if the Braves win the Super Bowl, that's breaking news on our show first. Just to say, you know what's funny?
They would win it before the Falcons would.
Drex, that is such a great point. And you, as you were saying that, it's so funny. I forgot that that is not this way across the board. It really, and I have worked for companies where it is not local. It is piped in. And the smaller market you get into, the more likely that is. And that is a shame. That is a complete and utter shame. You cannot.
But it's a double-edged sword too, because like a Cox could, our company could probably, because tooting our own horn, we're good. We are good at what we do. They could put us on in other markets, but we would suck. We would be terrible, but we are great in Atlanta.
Amen.
Is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to share or think about?
How much time you got?
Ask me this.
How much time you got?
I know I've used up all my time three questions ago.
No, I think it's been great. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you so much for reminding us the importance of local radio and recognizing how much you truly care about your listeners. And it sounds like you truly care about your advertisers too.
And each other.
Practically finishing each other's thoughts, Tad, Drex, and Kara shared radio provides a captive targeted audience. They remind us that listeners are coming to them and they trust them. Radio is the only medium where an advertiser can tell their story however they want, and then it gives the listeners the option to interpret it the way they want. Listeners can hear a message and then add to that experience.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.